No, Mr. Bell, there you are. You caught me just as I was about to make our coffee.
Well, don't let me interrupt.
Nothing short of a fire or an earthquake could stop this ritual once I get started. Lid off the can. Teaspoonful of G. Washington's coffee crystals in your cup. And in mine.
Now pour in the hot water, just to show I still remember how. There we are. You know, after 3 years of making those two cups of coffee, I almost think I could do it in my sleep.
Probably. It would taste just as good as it does now, because G. Washington has been brewed for you, and you just can't go wrong.
You don't have to convince me, Dr. Watson. I've been sold on G. Washington's ever since you first introduced me.
No, Mr. Bell, you're not going to try to stop me talking about my favorite coffee. I may not have to persuade you to try G. Washington's anymore.
I should say not. I use it at least 3 times a day. I'm one of your best converts.
I should hope so, after all the trouble I've taken on you. However, I have a sneaking suspicion that there are still some of our listeners who've never tried it. In spite of all my ballyhooing, and I'd like to have every single one of them get just one can and test it out for themselves.
Right. I suspect that in spite of all our praise, G. Washington's coffee speaks for itself.
Is that a gentle hint for me to get on with the story, Mr. Bell?
Now, Dr. Watson, you know, I wouldn't say anything as rude as that.
No, but you might think it. Perhaps you're probably right at that. Well, now for our story. I think I'll tell you the one about the adventure that befell Holmes and myself while we were on a vacation in the late spring of the year 1889.
But when you say vacation like that, am I supposed to imply that the term was a misnomer?
Yes. Matter of fact, it turned out to be what we call a busman's holiday. Holmes and I had gone down to the little hamlet of Clavely-on-Grafton for a few days fishing. But what we caught in our nets wasn't trout, but a brutal, bloodthirsty... Oh, dear me, there I go again, getting ahead of my story. Well, as I was saying, it was in June of the year 89. Holmes and I had had rather a hectic winter. Professor Moriarty, that super intelligent criminal and madman, had been giving us a run for our money. We'd managed to upset most of his major activities, however. It was, as you may well imagine, a task fraught with no little danger.
It must have been sort of nerve-wracking, Dr. Watson.
It was, Mr. Bell, it was. Holmes, who could ill afford it, was growing thinner and thinner. His nerves stretched to the breaking point. Finally, when during the first week in June, Moriarty nearly finished us off by the charming expedient of letting loose in our house a rat infested with bubonic plague.
What?
Luckily, Tabby, Mrs. Hudson's cat, caught it first thing. Poor beastie died a horrible death, but we were saved. Well, when I realized afterwards that Holmes was on the border of nervous hysteria, well, I put my foot down and said London could go to blazes for all of me, but we were going to take a vacation. To my intense surprise, Holmes offered almost no objection.
He must have been in a weakened condition.
Exactly. So a few days later, saw us comfortably installed at the Crown of Roses.
Crown of Roses?
Yes, that was the euphonious title of Claverley's one and only inn. Very pleasant place it was, too. Excellent veal and ham pie. That's nothing to do with tonight's adventure. Well, where was I?
You were staying at the Crown of Roses in Claverley.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, there we were, all loaded down with fishing paraphernalia. You know the sort of thing a man buys in his weaker moments and then never gets around to using. Fancy flies, intricate reels. But as luck would have it, we never had the opportunity to try any of them out.
Well, anything that keeps the fisherman away from fishing has got to be pretty exciting.
Well, yes and no. In the first place, it rained the entire first week of our visit.
Now, that was tough luck, Dr. Watson.
No, the fish wouldn't agree with you there, Mr. Bell.
No, I suppose not.
I'm not sure that I do either. Holmes, as you doubtless realized by this time, was never the field and stream type. And the Zale bullet in my leg had an unpleasant way of kicking up a fuss in damp weather. So we just stayed indoors. Holmes slept most of the time. Rain on the roof is one of the best soporifics, you know. As for me, I caught up on my scribbling. So taken all in all, time passed rather pleasantly. Might even say profitably. 5 days had gone by with Holmes showing no interest in anything but sleep and food. When suddenly, to my surprise, he appeared in mine host's bar room at about closing time, the evening of the 6th day, dressed for the out of doors. His fore and aft cap pulled down over his eyes, his voluminous ulster turned up about his ears.
There you be, Dr. Watson. Just in time. He was about to close up for the night. What'll it be, sir?
Brandy and soda, I think, Mr. Finney. That ought to keep the chill out till morning.
Yes, sir, there been nothing like a good bullet in a brandy bottle to chase the fog out of your bones on a night like this.
No, indeed. This is rather thick tonight, isn't it?
Like a bloomin' blanket. There you be, sir.
Not many customers tonight, Mr. Finney.
Yes, there been, Dr. Watson. Who'll be going to go stumbling about in a fog like this, not knowing where he'll end up? Some pigsty like as not. Only had two customers tonight, sir. That ornery feller, that there bird feller that's been wandering around here with his telescope, and young Dr. James. And they're both a wee bit cracked, if you ask me. Man must be crazy to be abroad in a night like this.
Yes, I quite agree with you. You can expect me back for breakfast.
Holmes, I thought you were asleep. Where in the name of common sense do you think you're going?
A little stroll, Watson, just a little stroll. Thought I'd go and take a look at the monolith.
Monolith? Holmes, you out of your mind?
Not at all, Watson, not at all. Pulse quite normal, also my temperature, so it's no good getting out your thermometer. And furthermore, I refuse to stick out my tongue and say, ah. I'm quite rested, entirely refreshed, just a little bored. So I thought I'd just stroll around, take a look at the Druid Stones. I believe they're about a mile and a quarter from here, Miss Finney.
If it be Stonehenge, you're meaning a mile down the road and a quarter of a mile across the plains. That be right, sir.
You see, Watson, you see. Druid stones are in this vicinity, so don't look so incredulous. Stonehenge. I have an interesting theory about those giant stones. Surely you didn't think trout fishing was the only thing that lured me to this desolate place?
Mr. Holmes, cleverly on Grafton be one of the picture spots of England.
Possibly, possibly, but I can't say that I care much for pictures, particularly landscapes. No, no, it's Stonehenge I'm longing to see.
Yes, but Holmes, why not wait till tomorrow? These rocks have been there for centuries. They're not going to run away.
Sure, quite true. But there are definite conditions under which certain places are at their best. Venice in the moonlight, Scottish lakes at sunset, and Stonehenge. Stonehenge in a mist at midnight. And the date should be June the 21st.
June 21st? The solstice? You ain't telling me today's the 21st?
No, but it will be at midnight.
Lord have mercy. Don't he go near the stones tonight, Mr. Holmes? Tain't lucky.
Why not?
Tonight be the night they'd come back. The devil worshippers that built the place. And there be some as say as old Nick himself to hold court there this night, sir.
Splendid. Well, we haven't been formally invited, but what do you say, Watson? Shall we pay our respects to his satanic majesty?
Eyes like a cat. That's the sixth time I've stepped off the road into the ditch. Holmes. Holmes, where are you?
Over here. This is where we leave the road and cut across the field.
Well, you might have told me. Not let me go on plowing.
Well, steady, you steady. There's a fence. You can't walk through it. You'll have to climb over.
So I discovered. Oh, Lord, the ground is wet.
Hurry, Watson, hurry. We must be there by midnight.
You speak for yourself. I never wanted to go any place less than home. Home.
What's up, what's up?
Sworn I heard someone climb over that fence after us and land in the mud. Yes, I can hear footsteps splashing along.
I wasn't wet. Fierce in this mud. Give him time to pass.
About on a night like
this. I knew that, Watson. Hello? There's something looming up ahead.
Rocks. Great craggy rocks.
Yes. Those are the prehistoric monoliths of Stonehenge. Huge, barbaric columns of stone stretching up out of the fog.
Lord, I'd no idea they were so immense.
Yes, yes, that's the inexplicable, fantastic thing about them, Watson. Their tremendous size. We all know they form some sort of a druid temple. But how did they get here? Surrounding country for miles about. It's perfectly flat. There are no rocks of this size or construction anywhere in this terrain. Now, where did they come from? Who brought them here? Small wonder the superstition grew up that this was a temple to the powers of darkness, and that the devil himself placed these stones?
Holmes, I wish you wouldn't talk like that. Not now. The place looks so queer in this light. Those stones have a curious white glow.
Yes, yes, the mist must be clearing a bit. It's the moonlight trying to shine through that gives everything that curious phosphorescent quality.
Holmes, Holmes, I think there's someone hiding behind that nearest column. I feel someone's looking at us.
Yes, I think it's safer to stay away from those great rocks. Come along, Watson, come along. Let's move over to the center of the circle. Because we don't want to add to Stonehenge's list of human sacrifice.
Hmm? Well, what do you mean?
No one knows a great deal about the druidic form of religion. The ceremonial bodies were surrounded with great secrecy. It is believed, however, that at times they made human sacrifices. Most of these sacrifices were made on one day, the dawn of the day when the sun reached the northernmost point in the heavens, the solstice. That was their great feast. On that day, and that day only, the rising sun shone between those two highest pillars directly on this stone in front of us, which was the sacrificial altar on which the victim had been placed.
A barbaric lot. Say, Holmes, let's get away from here. The mist is rising again. It's so thick I can hardly breathe.
Think how many dark and horrible deeds these stones have witnessed. No wonder the country people say that they are still thirsting for blood, and woe to him who comes here on the night of the...
Holmes! Holmes, in heaven's name, what's that?
No, no. It came from over here. The altar. We've got to find out.
Ralph, are you hurt? Ralph!
Holmes, the place is haunted. Look, look, look. There's a shadow striding away from the altar rock.
Ralph, where are you?
The place is certainly more popular than I expected. Here's the altar. Oh, here, here. There's something here at the foot. Watch, watch, strike a match, quick.
Oh, just a minute, just a minute.
Quickly,
it's
quickly.
Wet, like macaroni.
Oh, here, here, give them to me. There, now, let's see.
Good Lord, it's a man, an elderly man. His head bashed in by a piece of rock.
It's all right, Holmes. She's coming round.
A nasty shock for a young girl, the sight of that.
Oh, where am I?
We carried you to the Crown of Roses.
Oh, I...
Oh, easy, easy. Oh. Don't try to sit up yet. Oh. Penny, have you any coffee in the house?
Yes, sir. The wife's got them on the stove now. Nothing like a good hot cup of black coffee, I always said, when you had a shock.
Shock. Shock. Then it's true what I saw. It wasn't a nightmare. Father! He's killed Father.
Whom do you mean when you say he?
I don't know. What does it matter? Don't leave me alone.
Was it Ralph?
Ralph? Ralph? What do you know about Ralph? Who are you? What are you doing here?
My name is Sherlock Holmes, and I'm here to solve the murder of your father.
But I don't know who did it. I don't know.
Perhaps not. But you suspect.
But I don't know anything about it. Why don't you leave me alone? Can't you see that I don't know? Oh, Father. Father!
For heaven's sake, Holmes, leave the girl alone. She's near hysteria. You can question her tomorrow.
Too late. The murderer will have escaped by then.
I don't care. I don't care. Nothing matters. Why do you keep looking at me like that?
My dear young woman, do you realize that if you continue to shield the person you suspect of being guilty, you will be held as an accessory to the crime?
But that's not possible. There was no one else. I was the only one there. There wasn't anyone else. I swear it.
Do you realize what you're saying?
I...
If you were the only person near the altar rock when your father met his death, then you must have killed him.
Holmes, really?
But I didn't. He was my father. I didn't kill him.
There, then. There was someone else. Someone whom you had promised to meet, perhaps.
No, no. I went there alone.
But why did you, a young girl, go to the altar rock in the middle of the night?
Well, I... Ralph, where did you come from?
It's all right, Mary. I was in Mr. Penny's back parlor. I was keeping...
Oh, Ralph, you... You've been drinking again.
Mary, don't look like that. I can explain.
Here be the coffee, Miss Mary. Why, Dr. James, I thought I told you to lie down in the back parlor. I'm sorry, Miss Mary. Sorry you had to see him like this.
It's all right, Mr. Penny. It's no surprise to me. Father warned me Dr. James was a drunkard. That's why he made me break off my engagement. And now Father's dead.
Mary.
Oh, don't pretend you didn't know. He was killed at the altar rock a little before midnight. He must have found out I promised to meet you.
But I wasn't there. I know I wrote you a note to say I had to see you, but when the time came, I couldn't go.
Because you were too drunk.
Oh, what does it matter why? I swear to you, Mary, on my word of honor, I wasn't there. Mary, Mary, don't you believe me?
Don't touch me, you Judas,
oh, come,
you.
Oh, come, come, come. Recriminations aren't going to get us anywhere. Penny, suppose you give Miss Mary her poppy.
Yes, sir. Here you be, Miss Mary. Drink it down, off.
I don't want it.
Come, come, drink it, drink it. Pull yourself together.
You better let me get you some too, Dr. James.
No, no, I don't want any coffee. Whiskey, I've got to have a good drink of whiskey.
No, 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 not whiskey. You need something entirely different. Oh, what's in there? Have you any quinine handy?
Why, yes. As a matter of fact, I have a few capsules right here in my pocket. Thought they might come in handy in case you showed signs of feeling the fog tonight.
Good, give me 5 grains. Oh, thank you. Now then, Dr. James, take this capsule. Wash it down with black coffee.
Thank you, sir. I just said I saved my life.
Oh, that's better. Now let's see if we can straighten things out a bit. Miss Mary, your other name is...
McPherson. Mary McPherson. My father was the minister of the Presbyterian Church.
And a strict disciplinarian, I'll be bound.
What? Well, that is...
Yes, he was, sir. Hidebound and narrow-minded.
Ralph!
Mary, I forgot.
Now then, Mrs. McPherson, I take it that you and Dr. James were engaged to be married, eh?
Yes, we were. We've been engaged 2 years and a half, up to yesterday.
And what happened yesterday to make you change your mind?
He came back, Mr. Holmes.
Came back?
Yes, you see, I'd been in Africa working with Dr. Bittner in the Congo. I was trying to save some money and get enough of a reputation so Mary and I could get married. It was 2 years of hell. But I saved my wages and then I was offered a post in Egypt, a good position, one a man could marry on. So I came home to get my bride. My boat was late. I was supposed to reach Southampton yesterday morning, but it docked yesterday afternoon. It was dark by the time I reached Taverley. I didn't waste a minute. Just left my bags here with Mr. Penny and ran round to the rectory as fast as my legs could carry me.
Almost 10 o'clock. Oh, Father, what if something's happened to Ralph? Maybe there's been an accident.
Nonsense. If he wanted to be here tonight, he'd be here. Probably off somewhere celebrating his return.
Father, you know Ralph isn't like that.
And they're all like that, this younger generation, heading straight for eternal damnation.
Oh.
And the things I've heard about what go on in some of those African settlements. Native women, liquor.
Father, sometimes I think you have the most lurid imagination.
Imagination? You don't know human nature. Why isn't Ralph here if he isn't gallivanting?
Father, please, he'll get here. There he is now. Oh, Father, it must be.
Mary, for heaven's sake, remember, you've had a decent bringing up. I'll go to the door.
No, no, I'm going. I don't care. I'm going. Ralph.
Mary.
Ralph, darling. Why, what's the matter? Why, you look so white.
Close the door, can't you? Rain falling into the house. Want to drown us?
Mary, I'm sick. Give me a drink.
So, that's the way you've come back. You run so good for nothing.
For the Lord's sake, give me a drink.
What do you think this house is? You've been away so long, I guess you don't know how to act in a decent society. Well, let me tell you, no daughter of mine is going to marry a drunkard.
Mary Ann.
Get out of here. Get out, I say. If I ever catch you talking to Mary again, I'll have you run out of town.
Mary, let me explain.
Get out.
Very well, then. I'm going. Before I go, I've got something to say to you. You call yourself a minister of the gospel. Tell you, the average black-skinned African heathen has more Christianity in his heart than you, and your narrow-minded, soul-squeezing principles, you're headed straight to Hades, and may your soul spend its torment when you get there.
Say that, Dr. James.
Yes, I'm afraid I did. You see, I wasn't myself. So today I sent Mary a note begging her to meet me tonight. I wanted to explain things.
And Father must have suspected something and followed me. Oh, it's too terrible. If only I'd heeded his warning, he'd be alive. They wouldn't have met.
But Mary, I didn't kill your father. I swear it. I was here all the time. I think I can prove it.
You mean you have an alibi?
An alibi, yes, that's it, Mary. If I can prove an alibi, will you believe me?
Oh, Ralph, if only I could.
But it's so easy. Let me see. Mr. Penny, what time was it I had supper?
We're long enough towards 9, Dr. James. We've been out in the bog, tramping about up to then.
Yes, I was nervous, sort of figuring out how I'd explain things to Mary. You see, I didn't want to frighten her. It must have been about 9:30 or 9:45 when I
when I had that first sinking spell, wasn't it, Betty?
Why, yes, sir. That's when I gave you that swig of whiskey and told you to lie down in the back parlor, and you sort of, well, drifted off. And then I come out and saw Dr. Watson here.
That was shortly after 10. Holmes and I set out to Stonehenge a little before 11.
And I went in to make sure Dr. James were all right and found and wrapped up in my wife's best Afghan sleep knit off, as you might say. Then I went up to bed. The church clock was striking 11 as I went up the stairs.
11. That still left you plenty of time to get to Stonehenge before 12. Well, Dr. James?
Well, at about 10 past 11, I woke up and looked at my watch. I remember I had to get to Stonehenge at all costs. Mary was waiting for me, you see, and I tried to pull myself together. I got up and managed to get as far as the door somehow. The minute I stepped out into the fog, I started trembling from the cold. I went as far as the gate before I collapsed. I realized then I'd never make it, so I crawled back into the house as best I could. I was just taking that whiskey bottle down off the shelf and...
Oh, Ralph.
Oh, I had to, Mary. I was shaking from head to foot. Well, just then, Mrs. Penny here came downstairs and saw me. Well,
I'd come down again to make sure about the back door. Forgot to lock him once last week, and it was on my mind, as you might say.
Well, Mr. Penny gave me a drink and helped me into the back parlor again. There was a fire there, you see. I needed the warmth.
What time was it when Mr. Penny got you settled in front of the fire for the second time?
I don't know absolutely, but my little excursion down the road couldn't have taken long. 10 minutes at the most. It must have been about 11:20.
Oh, no, Dr. James. It were after 12.
But
good 25 minutes after 12.
It couldn't have been. I wasn't gone that long.
Oh, take pardon, sir, but from your condition, I'd say as you wouldn't be liable to remember just what did happen.
But from 11:10 to 12:25, I... Good Lord, I must have fainted that time I fell down at the gate. Over an hour. Oh, no, it's not possible.
Oh, beg pardon, sir, but anything be possible to a gentleman in the state you was in.
Oh, Ralph, then maybe you went to Stonehenge after all. You killed Father.
Oh,
and now you can't even remember. Oh, Ralph.
Easy, Mr. McPherson, easy. Now, let's not jump at any conclusions. I have a few questions I'd like to ask. First of all, Dr. James, was Mr. Penny completely dressed when he helped you into the back parlor the last time?
Why, yes, he was dressed.
Dear me. And yet he says it was 12:25. And he went upstairs to bed at 11. How do you explain that, Mr. Penny?
He don't know what he's saying. I weren't dressed. I were in my nightshirt. I keep a telling of he don't know what was going on.
Interesting, very interesting. According to your testimony, Dr. James is out in this unspeakable weather for over an hour. And yet his clothes are quite dry. Even the soles of his shoes are only slightly damp. Yours, on the other hand, are completely soaked and covered with mud. And they were bone dry when Dr. Watson and I left you earlier this evening.
What do it matter about me shoes? That don't prove anything?
Not by itself, no. But coupled with the fact that you were so anxious to break down Dr. James's alibi. That makes the whole matter seem a trifle suspicious, don't you think?
I don't know what you'd be talking about.
But wasn't you by any chance who followed us to Stonehenge? It wasn't you who mistook Miss McPherson's father for me in the fog? Yes, he was about my size and wore a foreign-ass cap.
Why?
Yes, I suppose you're going to tell me that you're not Mike the Slasher, one of Professor Moriarty's men, the head of the gang of robbers and cutthroats that's been holding its meetings at Stonehenge at midnight, knowing that no one goes there after dark.
I tell you...
You'll tell me nothing. I've attended 4 of those meetings so far this last week.
Holmes?
And I know you thought I was safely tucked away in bed, Watson. Sorry I had to fool you like this.
No wonder you slept so much in the daytime.
Yes, my dear Mr. Penny. I think I have enough evidence to hang you and several of your little playmates. But at least that won't be as unpleasant as what would have happened to you when Moriarty discovered you had bungled tonight's job and killed the wrong man. Don't move, I warn you. Watson, escort this gentleman to the back parlor where the constable and coroner are waiting for him.
Right.
And you'd better take this revolver.
Absolutely. Now then, come along, you bloodthirsty yellow slippers.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, I can't thank you enough for killing Ralph. I should have had more faith.
Yes, Mr. McPherson, one should have faith in those one loves. Your fiancé is not a murderer, nor, may I add, a drunkard.
Mr. Holmes.
No, if I read the symptoms correctly, he is suffering from a malarial fever.
Yes, I contracted it several months ago in Africa. For a few days, they thought I wouldn't pull through.
Oh, Ralph.
It's all right, Mary. I'm well out of danger. Only malaria isn't so easy to get out of your system, you know. I still run a temperature now and then.
Mostly in the evenings, eh?
Yes, Mr. Holmes. That's what I wanted to explain to Mary tonight. Only one of my attacks hit me just at the wrong time.
Nonsense. It was a lucky thing for you, young man, that you couldn't get out. Well, it was Mr. Penny's attempt to break your alibi that convinced me that he was the murderer.